can she go missing on a military base? That's too ridiculous. Go find her.
Private First Class Vanessa Guillen was last seen on Wednesday. Her loved ones say they need everyone's help to find her.
The story explodes into the news cycle. It goes national.
I've been covering the Vanessa Guillen story for more than a year now. And the big question has always been the same. What really happened to Vanessa?
I've never seen more of a botched job, more of a mishandled case in my life.
We've been talking to her family.
She was not happy at Fort Hood.
No.
Her friends on base.
Around 10 p.m. that night, I asked who she was working with.
Even her fiancé, who's never spoken on national TV before now.
They're taking care of us, protecting us, but who's protecting them?
And what we've discovered is mind-boggling.
Has the Army taken actions to hold people accountable?
All those missed clues. And what happened during those crucial hours in the arms room?
But you have to admit there were too many mistakes, too many blunders.
I believe she's still in there, and she's suffering, but she's still alive, and I want her back like that. I want her alive.
What happened to Vanessa? ¿Qué le pasó a Vanessa?
Which way do we go? ¿Qué, por dónde vamos?
Pues sigue todo derecho, nomás deje que se ponga la luz en verde y luego le sigue.
So we go straight past the green light, okay.
A la izquierda.
A la izquierda? Sí. Take a left. So that's the school over here. Did Vanessa like school? ¿Le gustaba la escuela, Vanessa?
Ella era su amor, la escuela.
It seems like only yesterday to you that she was here. Parece que fue ayer, ¿no?
Sí, porque para mí son muchos recuerdos. Aquí están sus huellas de ella, sus vivencias de ella. Era muy hermoso porque yo vine dos veces con ella a correr. La acompañé a correr.
You ran with her? ¿Usted corría con ella?
Sí.
In her athletic pictures, she seemed very happy.
Mi hija era muy alegre, pero más su pasión, su fascinación, era el soccer y correr. Ella, mami, es mi vida. Es mi pasión, el fútbol y el correr.
Vanessa's 20 years old. She was born and raised in Houston, Texas, one of six children.
That's Vanessa right in the middle.
Her parents are immigrants from Mexico. Mom, Gloria, took care of the kids, while Dad, Rogelio, worked as a machine operator. The Guillen family is Catholic and very religious.
This is the baptism, cuando la bautizó.
Este es cuando la bautizamos.
That's your favorite, su favorita?
Sí, sí le gustaba bastante el ejercicio y sí se sabía defender y sí estaba muy fuerte.
When Houston went on lockdown, she was really like frustrated because you know the gyms are closed and she would be like, "Let me carry you so I can do squats," and I was like, "Okay." And she will be like, she will carry me on her shoulders and she will make like squats.
I always looked up to her and she used to be like, be like me, like be tough and ignore everyone.
Ella desde los 10 años soñaba con inscribirse al ejército, a defender su país, su nación.
She's this girl who just dreams of a better life. She has this fierce sense of patriotism, so she enlists into the Army before she graduates from Cesar Chavez High School.
Yo tengo una misión que se me ha encomendado y la voy a cumplir.
In her first training, she didn't even want to come back. She was that happy. Even when she got home, she was like a new person. She was like, her skin was literally glowing.
Porque mi hija venía bella, hermosa. Hermosa, mi hija radiante, feliz. Cuando la abracé yo, le dije, Dios mío, ya volviste.
¿A dónde te mandaron? Dice, aquí cerquita, mami. A una base que está aquí cerquita.
She was even happier that she was going to be stationed in Texas, close to home.
Vanessa was sent to Fort Hood. She was stationed there as an active duty soldier, and she would make the trek every weekend to visit her family in Houston. That's about a 3-hour drive.
Fort Hood is in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Tumbleweeds rolling, vast spaces, known as the Great Place.
Fort Hood is big. It's the Army's largest military installation. It's like the New York City.
Vanessa was a small arms repair soldier, so her responsibilities included ensuring weapons were maintained, helping with accountability and inventories. That was her job.
What do we have here?
As soon as she got to the unit, we were like friends immediately. She didn't talk to too many people, but I guess apparently I'm like kind of funny at sometimes, and like she'd crack up all the time. Like her laugh was very, very contagious.
I was one of Vanessa's closest friends. Sometimes we would go like running like 3 miles or a few miles, and she would always like beat me.
And soon after Vanessa goes to Fort Hood, her family says they notice a change in her.
You started seeing her eye bags. You started seeing she didn't want to eat. She started getting skinny again.
Su cara le cambió, como su rostro más triste.
Sí.
Se fija cuando yo.
She looks more sad. Sí, sí. Más triste.
Sí. Sí, porque ya aquí ya tenía como un mes en Fort Hood.
She was not happy at Fort Hood. No estaba alegre ella.
No, no. Tú estabas bien. ¿Por qué estás así? Dice, no, mami, estoy bien. Estoy bien.
She would try to tell me that she didn't want to be at Fort Hood. I remember this one time she said, I don't like it here. And I hope one day you understand.
In October, knowing that my sister was coming home, I was there. And she just came in. She closed the door and she just started crying on her bed. But I'm like, you just came from work. Why are you crying? But I couldn't ask her because I wasn't in the position of asking her, are you okay? Because she's already old. She knows what she's doing. But at that moment, now I feel that I should have asked her. That could have been my opportunity.
In mid-March, Vanessa gets engaged. Her family says she's happy and she's ready to move on with her life.
Una quinceañera. Ella se me quedó viendo una vez y yo dije, mira, está bonita. Y bailamos toda la noche y así la conocí. I knew she was the one.
Y la miré como pacífica, feliz, porque habían pedido su mano.
She was beside me, she was just smiling, looking at her parents. We were all happy.
La abracé frente de la Virgen. Le dije, ¿ya te vas, hija? Digo, ya me voy, mami. Y como siempre, su besito aquí, él sabe.
And she told me, I love you, good night. Then the next day, she woke up like at 5 a.m. to leave to Fort Hood. I remember I was still asleep, but I remember she gave me a kiss and she left.
On the 22nd, I find out that she's not replying at all. No phone calls, they go straight to voicemail. So I was like, well, let me message her. Maybe the message just go through. And nothing. And I know she doesn't turn off her phone.
8 p.m. It's been hours since the family has heard from Vanessa. Her sister, Maida, takes action.
That's when I decided to start calling the base, and they told me that they hadn't seen her since about lunchtime that day. And I'm sitting there like, it's already been more than 6 hours. I'm like, and nobody knows where she is. That's when he tells me, oh, we did send her for a report, but she never made it back. And I'm like, and you're so calm about this. I called my mom and my dad. We sat down at the dinner table, and I told them, I have to tell you something.
Dice, ¿has notado que Vanessa no contesta los mensajes? Dije, sí, es cierto, mija. Dijo, y dice Juan que no le contesta y siempre se habla. Dijo, ¿cómo?
She was like, I have to work in a bit. And that was the last message.
I tell them I just called the base. They don't know where she is. And it's just silent.
How can she go missing on a military base? That's too ridiculous.
La niña debe estar allí. Cierra esa base. Dile que cierren esa base, maldita, y busquen a la niña.
She wouldn't just walk away.
Welcome, mystery enthusiasts. If you're a fan of uncovering hidden clues and solving mind-bending mysteries, then you're in for a treat with June's Journey, the thrilling detective game set in the mesmerizing world of the Roaring Twenties. Dive into the glamour and intrigue as you engage your sense of observation to find hidden objects from the parlors of New York to the sidewalks of Paris. Each chapter unravels a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles, testing your detective skills to the limit. Go deep into the mysteries of June's Journey, navigating through intriguing chapters. The thrill of solving each puzzle will keep you coming back for more. The storytelling is absolutely captivating. You'll be hooked from the first chapter. Whether it's during your commute or a cozy evening at home, June's Journey is your new go-to game. Make sure you've got that internet connection ready for an uninterrupted detective experience. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Some folks don't stop searching till they find the truth. If you've got a detective's eye, June's Journey is the game for you. Play as June Parker in a gripping murder mystery as you find hidden objects to help solve her sister's death. You'll hunt for clues in hundreds of beautifully illustrated scenes set in the Roaring Twenties. New chapters are added weekly. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android and iOS mobile devices, as well as on PC through Facebook Games.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's late on the evening of April 22nd. The family is not getting clear answers from the base about Vanessa's whereabouts.
So in a last-minute desperate move, Myra, her sister, and Juan, her fiancé, decide to make the drive to Fort Hood to try and get answers themselves about Vanessa.
I knew something was wrong because I checked her social media, like, man, hopefully she tweeted something. I was just checking, but nothing.
On my way there, I was just crying because I couldn't understand. I didn't want to think the worst, but a lot of panic.
Yo corrí toda la casa como loca con mi rosario. Dios mío, que mi hija esté bien, Dios mío.
All night, Myra texts Vanessa to no avail. 8:35, hello, 11, Vanessa. At 1 o'clock in the morning, bro. And then later that day, I'm going to find you, I promise.
I got to Fort Hood, it was about 3 in the morning, and I call the staff sergeant again. Hey, I'm here. And he's asleep. He just tells me, oh, can you come back in the morning? And I was like, okay, I guess.
Yo ruego a Santa María, siempre virgen, a los ángeles, a los santos, y a ustedes, hermanos, que pensarán por mí.
I arrive at Fort Hood on the 23rd, about 8 o'clock in the morning. They told me that her keys, her car, her military ID, debit cards were there.
Vanessa's cell phone was nowhere to be found, but her other belongings were found in the arms room where she had been working earlier in the day.
Vanessa's mom's reaction? Well, it's what any mom would demand in that situation.
Yo con una desesperación, búscala en el edificio de armas, búscala allí, que cierren la base tiene que cerrar.
On the 23rd, the military police were contacted, and they used their resources to do local law enforcement checks. And so when that search came back without any results, then that's when CID is notified.
In the Army, they have what they call U.S. Army Criminal Investigative Division, or CID. And they basically investigate anything that's serious.
I texted my other sister, and I was like, what's going on? She was like, we think Vanessa's going, it's missing. And I was like, how can she go missing on a military base? That's too ridiculous. Go find her and better find her.
I decided to start taking action. I started doing posters.
I'll be going to the gas stations, to stores, to the metros, posting and missing, like, the love of my life. It's a nightmare.
At this point, I was really doubting about social media, but I posted it.
At this point, I start seeing these posts, and I was just thinking, why haven't we been on alert that there is a missing soldier? And that evening, I reported on the fact that Vanessa was missing.
Private First Class Vanessa Guillen was last seen on Wednesday, and her loved ones say they need everyone's help to find her.
I interviewed her sibling, Yovana Guillen, and Vanessa's boyfriend.
She was just gone, so she just disappeared. Every minute that passes is like killing me inside slowly. I was desperate. Like, I came up in the news and I was like, damn, am I really doing this?
I just hope she's okay. Hopefully we find her. Call the police, something. But please, don't be afraid.
Something told me this was bigger than what it seemed. That day, the Army sent out a press release.
In the notice, law enforcement stated that she was last seen on April 22nd around 1 p.m. in their regimental engineering parking lot on Fort Hood.
That information came from several soldiers who were not a part of Vanessa's unit. They gave conflicting reports about what she was wearing and when she was last seen.
They didn't really know Vanessa. And frankly, it wasn't a real strong lead.
Chris Swecker reviewed the Vanessa Guillen case file. Now, he's a former state prosecutor who spent 24 years at the FBI. He was asked by the Army to lead an independent review panel of the command climate at Fort Hood.
Did that early information throw off CID investigators?
It really did, because there was pre-existing information from earlier in the morning as to where Vanessa had gone.
An extensive search is now underway by military members, as well as civilian and military police.
The meetings with CID were useless. There was no new information. We gave them literally every single thing that they asked for, and for them not to give us an answer was like, the problem is inside.
We can't tell everything. We have to maintain the integrity of the investigation.
People on the street are looking for her, search teams looking for her, civilian search teams and military search teams, everyone looking for Vanessa. I mean, even just driving down the freeway, you see a big billboard, find Vanessa Guillen.
Vanessa's family doesn't feel like they're getting straightforward answers from the Army. So they start holding protests outside the east gate of Fort Hood.
We started protesting every Friday.
Why don't we roll it?
Everyone is wondering, why would Vanessa go missing? And in the background, her mom feels as though she knows the answer to that. And it all goes back to a conversation she had with Vanessa months before she vanished.
Y la senté en el comedor más yo sola, yo y ella. Le dije, ¿me vas a decir? Dijo, sí, pero vas a ser fuerte. Vas a tratar de no alterarte. Dijo, porque es algo duro y fuerte. Le dije, ay, Dios mío, ¿qué será? Ay, Dios mío. A mí me está acosando sexualmente un sargento. Le dije, no, mija, es que eso no puede ser, mija. ¿Cómo a ese grado? Dijo, sí, mami, y se le salen sus lagrimitas así.
She told her family that she was being sexually harassed, but she didn't report it out of fear of retaliation and retribution. And because you're reporting that harassment basically up the chain of command, in the end, whether someone is prosecuted or not is up to the unit commander.
No quiero hablar de eso.
Vanessa's mom, Gloria, initially holds that knowledge close to her chest. But then, security camera video of Vanessa emerges. Is it a clue to what might have happened to her?
Let's see it. Got it.
The city of Killeen is right outside Fort Hood. It's in central Texas, just north of Austin, and it basically exists to support the military community.
The week before she went missing, they were able to retrieve some video footage of her in a restaurant there in Killeen.
Vanessa did look like she had a lot on her mind. When I did see her the previous times, hi, how are you? How's your day? Hope you have a good day. And this time she didn't really say much. She paid and she left.
I can kind of tell that she was very anxious and like something wasn't right. Something was bothering her.
Today is a first alert weather day.
60% chance of storms today after that.
April 22nd, Vanessa reports to work, and she had been notified the day before that she would need to complete a couple of seemingly small tasks.
The plan was to go hiking whenever she got off work, and she had suspected it was going to be a half day. The last time she texted me was that morning, and she just sent a screenshot of the weather that said it was going to rain.
We know that Vanessa reported to her workstation, which was in the motor pool. And then we know that she came to the arms room, where she did leave behind her bank card, her ID card, and the keys to her barracks room and her car. And then she went to the next arms room, the second arms room. And that is where we believe she came into contact with Specialist Robinson.
Aaron Robinson was an enlisted soldier, 20 years old. He was a specialist. That is a rank. Vanessa was a private first class. So rank-wise, she was below him, although she was about to become a specialist.
At 10:23, Vanessa sends a text message confirming the serial number of a machine gun. That's her last known communication. 15 minutes later, at 11:13 a.m., Robinson closes his arms room.
He said that she completed what she was supposed to do in the arms room, and she left.
Vanessa had left her belongings in that first arms room, and the soldier in charge there expected her to return, but she didn't.
We believe that Specialist Robinson was the last person to see her.
I went to her room, and her roommate answered the door. And then I asked, have you seen Gian? And she said no. So I went back outside, and I walked to the parking lot, and I saw her Jeep there. At that time, I suspected something was up.
He was like, we don't know where she is. So I just got my keys, and we went downstairs and went looking around.
Around 10 p.m. that night, I think the question I asked, who was she last working with? And they said it was Robinson. I called him, and he was acting like he just woke up. He said he didn't talk to her while he was in there.
The following morning, Vanessa's friends say Robinson, who was the last person to see her, is asked by a superior in front of everybody about his last encounter with her.
And he was like, oh, I kept professional, didn't say too much to her. But like I said, the night before, he had told us that he didn't say anything to her at all.
On April 24th, her status was changed to AWOL.
They defaulted to what they always defaulted to, which was AWOL. Instead of looking at the facts, there was a text between Robinson and Vanessa Guillen saying, I'm coming, I'll be over there in 5 minutes. When he was interviewed, they didn't extract the evidence from his mobile phone at that time. That was a missed opportunity. She went to see him for a very brief encounter to get one specific serial number and come right back.
And never came back.
That was a clear indication of foul play.
A few days later, Army investigators interview Specialist Robinson again, and he tells them that the day Vanessa disappeared, he finished up his work and then went to his off-post residence to spend the night with his girlfriend. Army officials say when they spoke with Robinson's girlfriend, she backed up his alibi.
Nearly a month after Vanessa disappears, investigators speak to two witnesses who say they saw Robinson coming out of his arms room. He was pulling a large case called a tough box. They say it looked heavy.
He then loads it into his car and drives away.
That is really an important piece of information because Robinson is seen moving a container that conceivably could have a body in it.
So the next day they go and talk to him, and that's when he agrees to have his phone searched.
We're interviewing other people in the unit as well to find out, was there a relationship between Vanessa and Specialist Robinson that we didn't know about? And there was none.
I believe she's still in there, and she's suffering, but she's still alive, and I want her back like that. I want her alive.
The family, I believe they reach out to anyone and everybody who will listen, including Vanessa's congresswoman, Sylvia Garcia.
The family just didn't feel that they were making a complete, thorough investigation. And I told them that I would personally call Fort Hood and that I would set up a virtual phone call with the colonel.
Y es cuando me puso en la pantalla a CID y al coronel.
The family shared with the colonel that Vanessa had talked to them about sexual harassment. They were very adamant about it.
Texas EquiSearch founder Tim Miller will go to Fort Hood tomorrow to meet with investigators looking for missing soldier Vanessa Guillen.
Tim locally is kind of a legend in terms of finding people.
Texas EquiSearch was founded in 2000 by Tim Miller, not long after his daughter had been brutally murdered. He decided that maybe he could help other people since he understands what it's like to have a child go missing.
We did some searching and mapping areas out and stuff that day.
The search for missing Fort Hood soldier Vanessa Guillen continues. The reward for information on her whereabouts has now doubled to $50,000.
I started looking for legal help. I had a hard time finding a lawyer that would take the case. Thankfully, I found Natalie.
Natalie Kwong with the whistleblower law firm gets brought into the equation, and that puts them on another level.
Myra contacted me and said, I heard you do a lot of things for the military. Would you be able to help my family? I said, absolutely. And I said, you don't have to pay me anything.
It gets to the point where it's not just on local outlets. The story goes national on Spanish language media.
¿Dónde está Vanessa Guillén?
With Mom Gloria speaking publicly about the sexual harassment.
Estoy siendo acosada por un sargento, pero ¿cómo acosada sexualmente?
I was told that he followed her into a shower, and there was another person that also harassed her, used vulgar words.
Family attorney Natalie Kwam told us today she's uncovered at least two incidents of sexual harassment. The military says they've received no credible information about those allegations.
When the sexual harassment allegations became public, the whole case took off.
Hashtag Find Vanessa Guillen began trending. And when I say trending, I mean even with celebrities.
Now actress Salma Hayek is using her star power to raise awareness about a missing Fort Hood soldier. The actress posting this to her Instagram account this week.
I would say the traction online, thousands of tweets, Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia, Salma Hayek, that's huge.
The story starts to go viral. The Army launches an investigation into those sexual harassment allegations, but they're also trying to handle the criticism regarding the handling of the investigation.
The Army released these photos saying they show soldiers searching Fort Hood for any sign of the missing 20-year-old.
We have some breaking news.
We're posting stories, pictures of Vanessa when we hear police have found remains close to the base.
CID actually gave me a call that we found human remains.
Everybody was fearful that it was Vanessa.
We have some breaking news. Fort Hood Criminal Investigation Division have found skeletal remains in a field in Killeen.
También me llegó a pasar por la mente, dije, Dios mío, la mejor es mi hija.
CID actually gave me a call and they said, we found human remains. We believe they're too old to be your sisters.
A short time later, we learn it's actually Gregory Morales' remains. He's a Fort Hood soldier who had been missing for almost a year. He had been listed as a deserter. And sadly, now he's found murdered.
Gregory's personality was very carefree. Anything to do with fun, that was him.
Gregory Weedle Morales went missing August 2019. His family was told, we as reporters were told, he was AWOL. And that means that he left on his own.
There was no missing soldier protocol?
No, you know how it is in the Army. There's a protocol for just about everything. But every company commander were sort of left to their own devices to make a decision about suspicious circumstances.
That style, that way of handling or mishandling people is not acceptable.
They're calling me asking if I know where he's at. Have I heard from him? But he's getting out in a couple weeks. Why would he go AWOL?
We didn't just review the Guillen file, we reviewed others. What we saw was lack of focus, a lack of attention to detail, and frankly, it was from lack of experience.
And I will say, when he first went missing, there was no reward for information finding Gregory. There wasn't a reward until there was a reward for Vanessa.
As the months went by, and I'm a teacher, and oh, it was hard. I mean, to sit there and just cry in front of your students.
The gruesome discovery was made as the search for missing Fort Hood soldier Private First Class Vanessa Guillen drags on. If they were not looking for Vanessa, they would not have found Gregory. Point blank.
Gregory's death is still under investigation.
Because they determined it was foul play, Gregory Morales got his rank back, got his active duty status back, and for his family, got his benefits back, and he got the military funeral he deserved.
Fire! Fire!
They failed on every level to look for him, to protect him, and if nothing else, just call and say, we're sorry, we screwed up.
So there are a lot of leads that are going on during this time. We've interviewed over 300 soldiers in the unit. We've conducted a lot of investigative activity.
These were fairly new agents. They're 1-2 years out of their training academy. My analogy was staffing the New York field office of the FBI with brand new agents out of Quantico. You can't operate that way.
We got like harassed. They just kept trying to pin it on me or Landy. It was one time they brought me in and they were asking questions, have I ever found her attractive and have I ever liked her? They were like, maybe you did go hiking with her and maybe you did actually rape her and leave her out there. And that's probably what happened to her. And they were just trying to see my reaction and I was like choking up. I didn't know how to like react to it.
Where we get our real, I guess, first break is from the analysis of the phone cell data.
Investigators have now learned that the same day Vanessa goes missing, Specialist Robinson's phone pinged in Belton, Texas, by a bridge near the Leon River at 1:59 the next morning.
He reports going home and spending the evening with his girlfriend. Investigators now, they've learned a whole different story.
A tip has now led search teams to the Leon River near Temple.
They got information on the phone ping that led us to the area where we was at. And when we were searching, we found this burn pile. And on that burn pile, there was the top, about maybe 30% that did not burn, of a tough box.
And it sort of fits the description of what witnesses described that came out of Robinson's armory area that he loaded into his vehicle. So at this point, they're really piqued as to what they may have here.
To find a charred half a lid to the tough box would say, okay, she's somewhere around here. We started digging. The dirt was fresh.
I said, now something has happened here.
They're asking themselves, what would somebody be burning here and why?
So they got Texas Rangers out there and they dug the burn pile.
They looked around, but they did not find human remains at that point.
But we felt strongly that she was here. just experience, just gut.
While the family continues their desperate search for answers,
viva la quiero porque mi hija entró viva.
Another woman enters the picture, and investigators want answers from her.
What do we want?
Vanessa!
When do we want her?
Now!
Queremos a Vanessa!
While everyone's asking questions about Vanessa, Army investigators realize via cell phone records that the day that Vanessa went missing, Specialist Robinson has called his girlfriend, 22-year-old Cicely Aguilar, multiple times in the middle of the night. You can't be at home with your girlfriend and calling her multiple times. Something seems off there.
Cicely Aguilar, it turns out, is the estranged wife of a former soldier, Keon Aguilar.
Everyone who knew her at school knew how big her heart was and how big of a sweetheart she was.
According to Cecily's friend Aaron, in 2019, Specialist Robinson moved in with Cecily and her husband, Keon.
She was just like, this is Keon's friend. They're in the army together.
Aaron says that Cecily told her that she was having a rough time in her marriage and that she had developed this relationship with Aaron Robinson.
She had told me that when she moved out of Keon's house, that Aaron had came with her and they were dating.
They were boyfriend, girlfriend. Not a normal boyfriend-girlfriend situation, since her husband was another unit member.
Keon Aguilar was going around the base telling everybody that Robinson moved in on his wife.
A month after Robinson consents to having his cell phone record searched, investigators interview his girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar, and they say she backs up Aaron's story.
She says that she couldn't find her phone. That's why he reportedly was calling it so many times in the middle of the night that evening.
The investigators seem to buy her explanation, but is it a missed red flag?
The morning of June 23rd, the family attorney, and Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia are meeting with leadership there at the base at Fort Hood.
It was useless. All they did was show me a map in the areas where they supposedly searched in, and I was like, you brought me in to see a map.
Not only they were not being transparent, they were being very elusive about it. And that's not how you handle a missing person case.
And then I was really taken aback by a comment that one of the investigators made when we asked a question about their sexual harassment issues, because her response was something like, well, we really didn't look at that because that's misconduct. So I just said, no, wait a minute, what do you mean you're not going to look at sexual harassment? I mean, that could be the reason for her disappearance. It could be a motive.
CID says it was a misunderstanding. What do you find when you looked into that case?
We didn't see any indications that they looked at sexual misconduct or any mistreatment of Vanessa Guillen by any person in the Army. I can't say it didn't happen, but there's no documentation of it that we saw.
The Guillen family attorney asks a pretty routine question. Was there any cameras in the area where Vanessa went missing?
Army officials stated there were no cameras in the area where the incident took place.
There's some limited and poor quality, not 21st century video surveillance going on.
On a military base, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there were very few cameras in operation at all.
It came to a point until we kept pressuring and pressuring that they finally admitted that foul play was involved.
When they finally come out to do a news conference, they finally used a term that I think got everyone's attention.
They are using the words now, foul play, and they are looking at potential criminal activity having occurred.
I was like, about time they said it. We've been knowing since the when it first happened, because nothing makes sense. Nothing.
There's two moments in that news conference that really stood out. It's one, when Mama Guillen goes to the podium.
Porque si Dios no lo quiera, mi hija aparece muerta, cierra esta base.
You did not need to speak Spanish to understand this mother's pain.
I think the army was caught off guard by the power of that family, by the emotion of that family.
And then Lupe was very passionate. So I pulled her aside afterwards, and she just cried out from the heart.
I just want her alive, because how is it possible to go missing on base, on a military base? How is that possible?
And those are the two moments that I think really catapulted that story at this particular moment. You could not pay attention.
No one could ignore it. The story explodes into the news cycle. It goes national.
The Army suspects foul play now.
I never seen more of a mishandled case in my life.
It's a major mistake on the part of the Army.
New details about what happened to Vanessa in the months before she vanished.
She just told us how uncomfortable she was with being around this individual.
I even wanted to just punch the wall because they called my family liars.
Was this a botched investigation by the U.S. Army?
Vanessa was last seen on Fort Hood.
They say no soldier left behind, yet they're leaving my sister behind.
What happened? Did that have anything to do with sexual harassment?
Why is the Army protecting the identities of the perpetrators?
Authorities everywhere, reporters everywhere, cameras everywhere, and there was just this feeling of, is that Vanessa?
How does this guy who's being monitored escape?
And did this woman play a role in the woods?
This is go time. Time is of the essence at this point.
Look what happens when you report sexual harassment at Fort Hood. You get bullied, you get hazed, you get harassed, you turn up dead.
Here we are, more than a year later, and we still don't know why she was killed. How can the Army have no idea? What happened to Vanessa? ¿Qué le pasó a Vanessa?
They say no soldier left behind, yet they're leaving my sister behind because clearly after 2 months, they're trying their best to find her. After 2 months.
The Army and police are asking you to call them if you have seen her or know any information.
Vanessa was last seen on Fort Hood.
It's been more than a year now since Vanessa's mother, Gloria Guillen, learned the devastating news that her daughter had apparently vanished while on duty as a soldier at Fort Hood Army Base.
How does it feel knowing that so many people who didn't know Vanessa have painted these murals, left the candles and cards and flowers?
A mí me hace muy feliz eso, porque gente que no la conocía, mi hija, cómo la aman tanto. Ese ser tan inocente que está en tantos murales le robó el corazón a todo mundo.
A story like Vanessa's hits close to home. As a Latina, a journalist, it's heartbreaking.
We're not gonna stay silent!
But Vanessa's family never gave up. The I Am Vanessa Guillen hashtag empowered military service members to come forward with their own stories of sexual harassment and assault within the military.
You see all these stories of what happens to the victims when they report something. A lot of them talk about how they were not believed, how they were criticized.
This movement right now can make the positive change that we need. At that point, everyone knows Vanessa's missing.
Investigators have searched, they've been to the Leon River, they've used a number of techniques to try to find Vanessa with no luck. And then all of a sudden, some contractors are working near the same area.
There was a crew working on a fence, they smelled a horrific odor, they went to investigate, and that's what triggered them calling the local sheriffs out there.
Around 11 a.m., the Bell County Sheriff's Department received a phone call from a citizen. He knew that there was some searching going on for the missing Fort Hood soldier.
This is an area that Army investigators that volunteers, that deputies have searched.
We arrived on scene and he took us to the area. We saw what he was looking at and we did believe that it was some type of remains. Some type of concrete substance was poured over the remains to try to hide it. But there was a lock of hair that was sticking out that looked human. At that point, I reached out to the Texas Rangers with the Fort Hood CID on the case and notified them.
Texas EquiSearch gets the call that they wanted us to come back. Some remains had been found.
We started digging in the other areas close by where we located the first remains. And then we were able to find two more.
The remains are found in three separate shallow graves, and those graves are then concealed with cement.
It was sophisticated because of the way they hid her so well. She blended in with the environment.
Search teams were there days before looking for Vanessa near the Leon River. They had walked over the spots where they're now saying they found her.
The word did get out and media did start to show up.
ABC 13 Eyewitness News live at 5.
Starting with this breaking news tonight, new developments in the search for missing Fort Hood soldier and Houston native Vanessa Guillen.
When we got to the scene, it was just chaos. Authorities everywhere, reporters everywhere, cameras everywhere, and there was just this feeling of, is that Vanessa?
When the remains are found, our special agent in charge actually contacts Vanessa's sister.
I got a call from CID on June 30th. They just told me we did find the partial human remains, and this time they didn't tell me it's not her. So, of course, I started thinking the worst, and I get a second call from Tim Miller, the founder of EquiSearch, and he always spoke to me with the truth.
I'm choked up now. I remember that day.
Texas EquiSearch founder Tim Miller says investigators found a shallow grave covered by rocks. Recent rain had made it difficult to see.
He did ask me, are you by yourself? Are you in a private area? And I said, whatever you have to say, you can tell me.
I said, Vanessa's been found. There's a lot of silence after that one. A lot of silence.
I just couldn't believe it. And the way that he knew that it was Vanessa was because he described her hair to me. And I just dropped my phone and it was just like everything came to an end.
I was actually at a restaurant. I was with my friends. They were trying to cheer me up. And out of nowhere, all the TVs went red. And it said breaking news.
The Army tonight telling the grieving family of Vanessa Guillen that remains found last week are indeed her.
I just started crying.
The focus really shifts to Specialist Aaron Robinson, because at this point, he's the prime suspect in Vanessa's murder.
The Army wants to detain Aaron Robinson, but they don't want him to know why. Instead, they tell him a story that he's violated COVID-19 quarantine protocols and needs to stay under watch for the next 24 hours.
Why couldn't he simply be arrested and charged at that point?
That's an area that you have to scratch your head. You would think someone would make the command decision, we're going to make an arrest.
These soldiers are tasked with watching Aaron Robinson in shifts. Army officials say that there's a text thread between a supervisor and the soldiers. The supervisor tells them if Specialist Robinson tries to leave, tackle him, immediately call military police.
So while Robinson is being watched by those soldiers on the base, officers track down his girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar, and they say this time she has a very different story to tell.
What investigators say happened out there on the Leon River is so terrible, it's almost hard to fathom.
After finding human remains out by the Leon River, the Army detains Specialist Aaron Robinson. They're monitoring him, but they don't want to tell him the real reason why. At about the same time, investigators track down his girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar, and speak with her again.
According to them, Aguilar changes her story about where she was the night Vanessa disappeared. Now, instead of spending the night at home looking for a lost cell phone, she allegedly tells them she and Robinson took a late-night drive to go stargazing.
But investigators don't buy Cecily's new alibi for Robinson. According to court filings, one of them even says to her, "I know you're lying to me," again. And they say eventually she changes her story again.
Cecily Aguilar did tell us that Specialist Robinson told her that he killed Vanessa.
As Aguilar's interview with investigators continues, she tells them that Aaron Robinson confessed to her that he had bludgeoned a female soldier to death in an armory room on base and then placed the remains inside a plastic tough box. The arms room was not thoroughly processed until her remains were found. How did that impact the investigation?
If you'd gone into the arms room and just shined some luminol around the arms room, it would have been a spectacular showing of blood. And that alone should have focused them in that one place, that one person.
Investigators say Aaron Robinson smuggles the plastic tough box containing Vanessa's body into his car and then drives off Fort Hood.
Aguilar tells investigators that she's at work at a gas station on the night that Vanessa disappeared, and that Robinson drives to the gas station, picks her up.
According to a criminal complaint that details what investigators believe happened to Vanessa, they then both drive out to the Leon River in the dead of night, and Aguilar agrees to help Robinson get rid of Vanessa's body.
They allegedly decide to use some type of tool, reportedly a machete of sorts, to then dismember the body.
Then investigators say that Aguilar told them they attempted to burn the body, but that didn't work.
So according to the complaint, they dig three separate holes to bury Vanessa's remains. They cover them up and they leave. But then 3 days later, on April 26, investigators say they come back again, bringing hairnets, gloves, and concrete.
They allegedly go to the remains, attempt to further break up the body, burn it again, and then decide to cover up the body with concrete.
They clearly come back, according to this criminal complaint, with a plan on how they are going to conceal this body as best as they can.
That really goes to the personality of that offender. Robinson has taken this young woman's life, and now most people would be in such an emotional state if they had done that, but not in this case. He's now able to start thinking strategically. What do I do with the body? That's not typical. No matter what you see on television or in the movies, that's not typical.
Juan Cruz learned the gruesome details about his fiancée's death from Twitter.
O sea, me salió en Twitter, todos están hablando, y dije, y yo le cliqué, y cliqué de la conversación que estaba teniendo, y empecé a escuchar de según la historia de lo que pasó. Entonces, me subí a mi carro, empecé a llorar.
Los restos eran de mi niña.
The details are so disturbing that her family decides not to tell Vanessa's mother exactly what happened to her daughter.
Y no me decían nada porque no podían decirme nada, porque me decían que podía yo morir. Nada.
It hurts me knowing that I know the truth, but she doesn't. As a mother, she's supposed to know, not me. But she doesn't know. And so it hurts me the most because I shouldn't be a liar. I shouldn't be telling her. No, that's not how it happened. But, I mean, one day we have to tell her.
The details alleged in that complaint about what happened to Vanessa are so horrific that Cecily Aguilar's friend, Erin, can't even wrap her mind around them.
I just can't see my best friend doing that to another human. For her to do this with a man she barely knew, it just doesn't make sense to me.
People do things out of character all the time, and those closest to them will say after the fact, I don't believe it. I just never saw that. They're not capable of that. We would hear that all the time in the FBI.
So that night, while investigators say Cecily Aguilar is making a confession to them, Erin Robinson is about to make a run for it.
How does this guy who's being monitored escape?
He's somewhere in Killeen, Texas, and Robinson does something that I don't think anybody saw coming.
Erin Robinson sat in an Army conference room for several hours under guard. He was told he had violated COVID-19 quarantine. He was allowed to talk on his cell phone, and he actually spoke with his girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar. But remember, at this point, she's already talking to authorities, and Robinson has no idea.
They essentially say, hey, we need your help. We need to call him. We need to tape this conversation.
And during that call, Robinson doesn't deny anything.
In fact, according to authorities, during these calls, Robinson actually texts Aguilar news articles about those remains recovered by the Leon River.
Private First Class Vanessa Guillen, her remains were found. Police are investigating.
You would think everyone involved in the investigation, all the way up the chain of command, would have been concerned or should have been concerned about the media tipping him off.
At around 10 p.m., Robinson is heard talking on the phone, apparently to his mother, saying, "Don't believe what you hear about me." Moments later, he rushes out of the room.
How does this guy who's being monitored escape? When I do ask that question to them, there's silence. It's like crickets. Like you'd hear a pin drop.
If the orders were that Robinson be watched around the clock, how is it possible that he fled from the room with only one way in and one way out?
It's a major mistake on the part of the Army.
The guard gives chase, but he gets in a vehicle and he flees and he leaves Fort Hood.
And out in the city of Killeen, where he's lost in the night.
And Aguilar at that point is trying to pinpoint his location so investigators can move in and arrest him.
Why did it take about 2 hours to track Robinson down?
Clearly, everyone was caught flat-footed. You know, it was poor communication, poor reaction, across the board.
And there is this incredible scene in the middle of this street where they're trying to go after Erin Robinson. They converge on him.
He feels the pressure's on. He's being surrounded by law enforcement. He pulls out a gun, he shoots himself, and dies by suicide. Here's the thing. There's dash cam video, body camera footage there in Killeen that captures the whole thing. And the city of Killeen's police department, they've made a decision not to release this video.
I'm Steve Campion with ABC News.
The police chief has declined multiple offers from us to sit down and talk about this matter on camera, so we went in person to ask him ourselves.
You've refused to release the body camera footage from your officers associated with Erin Robinson the night that he died by suicide. Can you tell us why?
Because it's still ongoing.
But that's not the reason why it was cited in the public records request.
Well, I have to say, I didn't release the public records request.
You denied a public records request to ABC News?
No, our public information officer with the city cleaned it.
We want to see this video. We want to see what he said. Did he say something before he shot himself?
Texas law doesn't specifically say they can't release the video, and we've seen other law enforcement agencies throughout the state release body camera footage, dash cam footage in high-profile cases, really in the name of police accountability and police transparency.
He killed himself? We want answers. We want justice.
The head of the CID, General Martin, told us last year,
I am absolutely confident in the actions that our agents took throughout this investigation.
Do you agree with that assessment?
No. Short answer.
With Robinson now dead, Army officials say at a press conference the next day that while the criminal investigation into Vanessa's murder continues, they have no evidence that Robinson ever sexually harassed her.
We have found no credible evidence that Specialist Robinson walked in on Specialist Guillen in a locker room while she was showering.
We don't know a lot about Robinson, but we do know that he is from Calumet City, Illinois. He played football at Thornton Fractional North High School.
He had been deployed to Iraq for about 7 months, joined the Army in 2018.
With very little information about Aaron Robinson, you have to go to behavior here.
He is strategic. He's stealthful. He's engaged in behavior to keep from being identified or arrested. He's engaged in this body disposal behavior because he does not want Vanessa's remains to be found. At least in my opinion, that's very high-risk behavior.
Dismemberment is a whole new dimension in criminal behavior, and he went there. And so it really talks about somebody antisocial, has no empathy, doesn't really care about people. What drove him to that? I can only think he had real anger toward Vanessa for whatever reason.
Cicely Aguilar did tell us that Specialist Robinson told her that he killed Vanessa because she saw a picture on his cell phone of her, and he feared that she would go to the chain of command and get him in trouble for having an affair.
Adultery is illegal in the military. You can definitely get in trouble. You can definitely get charged with that.
We don't know what the motive was with regard to Specialist Robinson killing Vanessa. We may never know. He may have taken that motive with him to his grave.
What did you learn about the mental issues affecting Specialist Robinson?
We were told that he had ideations of doing violence to his own comrades in arms, his own people in his unit. If you work in an armory, you would think that would disqualify you.
And what about Cicely Aguilar? Her case has its own twists and turns.
We want justice!
A federal judge denied bond for Cicely Aguilar today.
Cicely Ann Aguilar of Killeen is charged with conspiracy to hide and destroy evidence.
She pleads not guilty.
Aguilar's lawyers have filed a motion to throw out the entire case. They've also filed a motion to suppress the statements officers say she made. They claim Aguilar was in custody and should have been read her Miranda rights sooner. They don't concede any of her statements are accurate, but prosecutors say Aguilar spoke with law enforcement voluntarily and was not in custody.
I try my best not to get filled with negative thoughts, like as in them actually letting her go one day without paying for what she did.
She deserves to stay her life in prison. She just sit down in a cell and think about what she did. That's what she deserves.
Look what happens when you report sexual harassment at Fort Hood. You get bullied, you get hazed, you get harassed, you turn up dead.
There was a permissive environment from the command level on down towards sexual assault and sexual harassment.
It was somehow tolerated.
It was.
Months after Vanessa's remains were discovered, her mother Gloria finally gathers the strength to visit that spot on the banks of the Leon River.
Yo quería saber la verdad y me llevó. Fuimos allí donde encontraron a mi hija. Yo le dije, ¿por qué hay tanta cruz? Encontraron muchos cuerpos aquí o por qué tanto. Dijo, "Ramón." La partieron en pedazos a la niña. Y yo me fui como que no sabía de dije, ¿cómo? Dijo, sí, por eso no la pudiste mirar.
Her body was put in different parts of the ground because it had been
torn apart.
A esa niña le hicieron tanto daño que no tienen perdón de Dios.
What happened to Vanessa Guillen at Fort Hood grabs headlines across the country. But it's far from the first time that this Army base has been in the news.
Over the years, there have been prostitution rings run by a senior enlisted soldier who was also in charge of some of the sexual assault and sexual harassment response. You have had shootings, you have had robberies.
The numbers are high here. They are the highest for our entire formation, U.S. Army.
At the Pentagon, I sat down with the then Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy.
You visited Fort Hood and spoke candidly, very candidly, about the disproportionate amount of criminal behavior involving soldiers there.
That was an alarm bell for us to get an independent panel. We brought experts in, investigators, lawyers, as well as some retired FBI agents to have an outside look.
What was it like leading this investigation?
Leading this investigation was probably the biggest challenge of my career. We knew that there would be another Vanessa Guillen, at least we believed that there would be, if we didn't do our job correctly.
The committee found that the Criminal Investigative Division detachment workforce was unstable, under-experienced, over-assigned, and under-resourced.
In our estimation, the Fort Hood CID was basically being used as a training ground.
CID made so many mistakes during the investigation. They're the blame why my sister was found the way she was found. Dismembered and burned like if she was nothing.
They could have argued point by point all 70 recommendations and all 9 findings. They did not. And they stood there and said, we're going to accept all 70 recommendations and we're going to get on this. Many were very quickly implemented. For example, the missing person protocol.
If a soldier's AWOL, absent without leave, we have procedures in place now to identify whether that soldier's absence is involuntary or voluntary.
The findings of the committee identified a command climate at Fort Hood that was permissive of sexual harassment and sexual assault.
It was somehow tolerated.
It was. They wanted to be combat ready. That was the primary mission. Anything else was a distraction.
One of the things that the soldiers at Fort Hood, many of them needed, was to be believed. And that was what we did. We believe you.
Has the Army taken actions to hold people accountable for what happened?
The Army has taken strong action to hold people accountable. In fact, I think even beyond what we recommended.
Sweeping punishments at Fort Hood in Texas. 14 senior Army officers and enlisted personnel fired or suspended.
SHARP is the Army's sexual harassment and assault response and prevention program. And that report basically finds that it's not doing enough.
We've recently implemented some changes to address investigations that may deal with sexual assault, sexual harassment.
Having the I Am Vanessa Guillen bill passed will allow all our soldiers to know that they are safe and they could trust the system. They can come forward.
One of the biggest reforms this proposed legislation would do is move investigations into sexual harassment and assault outside of the military chain of command and put them in the hands of an outside prosecutor.
So the family wants this piece of legislation passed in Vanessa's name, and it is expected to come up for a full vote on the House floor sometime this summer.
I thank you for helping us all keep our promise we made a year ago to the family that we would have legislation and it would make a difference.
It's one of the biggest military reforms in history, and it's so important because it will bring the help my sister never obtained. It will bring the voice my sister never had.
With the family still searching for answers, the Army shows up at the Guillen home with a promise they don't keep.
I wanted to, like, just punch the wall because they called my family liars.
While the Army releasing a highly anticipated report regarding the death of Vanessa Guillen today.
Late April, after months and months of waiting, the command investigation that looked into how leaders handled Vanessa's case is finally released.
But before it was released, General John Murray went to the Guillen family's home.
General Murray told us that he will bring the investigation, the AR-15-6, to our home and have someone read it off in Spanish for my mother. He promised that to my mother.
But the family says when the report was released, instead of a personal visit, this time all they got was an email.
They, you know, suddenly call us and tell us, like, we're going to send it to you via email. So I'm like, that promise didn't happen.
And there was no press conference either. The findings were simply released to the media during a conference call.
You're not happy with this command investigative report?
Por supuesto que no.
Dijeron lo que yo dije. O sea, ¿cuál es la investigación?
Just seeing the report, the 271 pages, you wanted to, like, just punch the wall. Because they called my family liars, because since the beginning, we were like, hey, Vanessa was being sexually harassed at Fort Hood.
Major General Jean LaBeouf helped oversee the command investigation.
The Guillen family has maintained all along that Vanessa was sexually harassed. Why did it take the Army an entire year to acknowledge that their claims were true?
Well, the Army's about due process and making sure that that this investigation, all right, took a look at a number of different areas. A finding of the investigation was that, indeed, Specialist Guillen was sexually harassed on two separate occasions by the same soldier. That soldier was not Specialist Robinson, though.
Were you there? If you don't have any video footage, how do you know he did not sexually harass her then? How can you make that argument?
How do you know that she wasn't sexually harassed right then and there before she was killed?
We don't know that for certain.
Investigators say she was sexually harassed by a supervisor at Fort Hood.
This individual was somebody that was in, at the time of those incidents, in Specialist Guillen's chain of command.
One of her superiors.
It's inexcusable.
We were kind of aware of what was going on. She just told us how uncomfortable she was being around this individual.
There were proposals to have a threesome. There were, I'll call it a peeping incident, where she was doing field bath and someone was watching her.
I was astonished that they had so much information and details. The only sad part was they were protecting identities and names of the perpetrators.
You can't release his name.
We can't release his name for the matter of privacy. That individual is being held accountable.
In all, 21 Army leaders have been disciplined as a result of both the independent review and command investigation.
11 of those 21 have been removed from their positions permanently.
So Robinson, if he did not sexually harass her, let's just play that part. Well, then why the heck would he bludgeon her to death?
Yo creo la verdad. ¿Por qué se cometió ese crimen?
Can you try to investigate even further as to why this was committed? Why, just why?
We thought that after this exhaustive investigation, we would find out the motive for Vanessa's brutal murder. How can the Army have no idea?
That's exactly what we're trying to find out. We still seek additional information and the ultimate truth of why this happened. And that's part of the criminal investigation.
The Army's report determined that the search for Vanessa was, quote, immediate and well coordinated.
They claimed that the search was immediate. I'm like, I was there, I know what happened and didn't happen.
What is clear is that there were mistakes and missed opportunities in the Army's criminal investigation from day one.
General Donna Martin comes out, she's on the last special, first time we've ever seen her or heard about her. It says that her whole unit goes looking for her.
Vanessa doesn't check in, and so the unit starts looking for her.
That never happened. We know that didn't happen.
Now we know that she was marked present, so the unit search didn't actually begin for many hours. Why the discrepancy?
So, John, that's absolutely correct. Unfortunately, there were errors made. First error was with respect to eyewitness reports. Three separate soldiers had indicated that they had seen Special Vanessa Guillen departing the arms room and moving towards a motor pool area where vehicles are maintained. So the accountability check, though, was an error. They did not do a physical accountability of personnel. The individual that was responsible for that failed to do the proper gunning. So that was at 1600. So everybody thought that Specialist Vanessa Guillen was present.
Bad information.
Bad information.
A lot of manpower, a lot of effort, a lot of angst, and a lot of heartbreak took place because of those mistakes that were made early on.
Was this a botched investigation by the U.S. Army?
No, we don't believe so, because we were able to find probable cause to link Specialist Robinson to the disappearance and death of Specialist Guillen.
The reason the family feels the way they do, that there is no justice, is because Robinson is now dead, and they have no answers from him.
And that's extraordinarily tragic. We wish that was not the case.
You have to admit that early on in the investigation, there were too many mistakes, too many blunders.
The investigation revealed that there were errors that occurred. It tugs at our heart. We'll never forget Vanessa Guillen, John. There's a gate named after Vanessa Guillen at Fort Hood, Texas.
Today, 1 year ago, was the last time my family and myself saw her alive.
Everyone that passes through that gate will see my sister's name, my sister's picture, and remind themselves about how sexual harassment and assault has to be taken seriously and about the way she was murdered.
So some good will come out of this awful tragedy.
Yes, good and change is happening now.
There is a seismic change at Fort Hood in terms of the way they are treating their soldiers.
The Army has taken immediate action to relook at the actual structure of our U.S. Army's Criminal Investigation Command. It will now be under a civilian director to help provide additional independence to that organization with respect to investigations.
I know I can go back to the Guillen family and let them know that progress is being made, and Vanessa was a part of that change.
We all want answers to this, John, and we've got to bring closure to the family.
And for Vanessa's sister, the closure she wishes she could have had.
I wish I could have said it to Vanessa.
Hola, ¿cómo están? ¿Cómo ha ido? ¿Todo bien?
Aquí estamos.
Qué bueno, qué bueno. Señor, venga para acá.
Todos para acá, okay.
Las dos juntas aquí.
We have a surprise for you. A year ago, we were able to bring the Guillen family together with someone they wanted to see again to have the opportunity to thank.
This is a person you wanted to meet for a long time. Este es el señor Tim Miller.
Mr. Guillen, what do you have to say to him?
I want to say to him, I appreciate his help way too much. Way too much. From my heart.
Last summer, hundreds gathered at Cesar Chavez High School to celebrate and remember Vanessa's life.
It took more than a month for the remains to be identified and ultimately returned to the family, which allowed for a proper burial.
It was an emotional homecoming of sorts, with a custom casket arriving by horse-drawn carriage to her high school, where she ran track and played soccer.
It was incredibly touching. Close family and friends were able to join her for one last lap around the track.
Mirando a toda la gente de lejos, el apoyo, le daba las condolencias a la familia, a mí. Se sentía el amor de la gente, y eso nos traba un poco de paz.
The only thing I did afterwards, everyone left. I was left alone in her cemetery. I laid down it. Like, dude, why you leave me so early? Because that's how we used to talk. Like, bro, you really left. I'm like, I really need you. It's so hard. Every day I just think about, like, I'm not going to see you ever again.
I'm always thinking about her. Like, you know, memories never die. Gonna be manejando por Houston. miro sus murales y digo, damn, en realidad no está aquí con nosotros. Y manejo por otra parte y la miro y me pongo feliz porque me atrevo un poco de paz en mi corazón.
A lot of people care about her and they didn't even know her. They honor and respect her by doing that.
Just last month, Lupe and Myra spoke at a vigil to honor the one-year anniversary of Vanessa's death. Two sisters at the forefront of their family's fight for justice.
It was very emotional for me because I think us as four sisters, me, Vanessa, Yvonne, and Myra, we never actually, you know, to feel the love from each other because we never said it before until that vigil for her one-year anniversary.
Myra, thank you so much for everything, and remember that I love you all the time.
I wish I could have said it to Vanessa. I wish I could have said those last words for her.
Y mi hija ya es historia. Aunque les guste o no les guste, mi hija es historia.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
Como un hermoso ángel.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
Que sirvió a una nación sin saber a lo que iba.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
Yo soy Vanessa Guillen.
I am Vanessa Guillen.
Vanessa Guillen.
Que salvó a muchas muchachas de tanta maldad.
Such beautiful words from a mother who has endured so much.
No question about that. And next week, a judge is scheduled to hear Cecily Aguilar's motion to suppress statements she made while being interviewed and to dismiss the charges against her.
That is our program for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I'm Amy Robach.
And I'm David Muir. From all of us here at ABC News in 2020, thanks for watching. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.